Blog Talk Radio.
All right, hockey fans, welcome once again to the Vegas Hockey Podcast. This is another midweek report. I believe it's number 8 since we joined the Hockey Podcast Network. And they, asked us to do a little midweek show to keep the content rolling and flowing. And we appreciate everybody who's listening on any of those new platforms. We're on a lot of Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud again. They pick up our link, we send the show, and they put it on all their platforms, or you go to the hockeypodcastnetwork.net and pick a show from any of the National Hockey League teams. They have one of each, so go over there and check them out. We appreciate them. Chris, good day to you, sir.
Good day. It was, as I texted you last night, I was going to take a mini miracle, but somehow, some way, I was able to get what I needed to get done today to do the show, and no one.
Hey, miracles happen, my friend.
They do. Well, I just remember late last night. So.
Yeah. Hey. Usually so, his time, not our time. But today
right.
we were smiled upon. So yes, it's good to talk to you, sir.
But I gotta say, I'm a little disappointed. I'm glad we're doing this because. You know, I tell you, these Pittsburgh Penguins don't lose a freaking game. And last night, I'm like, well, you know, they're playing, they're in Vegas. So I know my de facto, my team in the West and my man, Mark W., they'll take care of business because you guys haven't been losing anybody. And then you lose to the Penguins. You're killing me here. I'm trying to shake a tail feather with them, with the Islanders. And they're both at 57 points, although the Islanders have played one less game for whatever that's worth. Penguins, I tell you, they don't have Crosby. They lose Kessel for the year. It doesn't matter. I mean, anyway. But as I digress, I thought it would be a little love from Vegas.
No.
I'm feeling you. I was looking at the game, and the Penguins going in were 7-2-1. The Golden Knights were 7-2-1.
The Penguins had won one game on the streak, right? You go look at the streak. The Golden Knights were on a 4-game winning streak, I believe season-tying high, and had just come off. I got a couple messages on Twitter. Wow, what a great win. And that was the St. Louis game, and I was I was underwhelmed with the St. Louis game. Yeah, it's nice to come back for the first time this season when trailing by 2 goals and win a game, actually. That's a nice streak to break. They spotted St. Louis 3-0 in the first period. Really nice win. Get the 2 points. The FNG, the new guy, goes down, wins it in overtime. So everything's happy. And then you got the Penguins. You got a 7-game homestand before you got your 8-game road trip split up by 10 days on 4-4. But, and so you're riding high, right? You think, okay. Stanley Cup champs came in. They took it on the chin. It's part of the process, right? Blah, blah, blah. And then they go and spot
freaking Pittsburgh.
3-0 lead.
And kind of the same thing. Midway through
the second period, they started skating and moving their feet.
I take that back. The Golden Knights played a good game last night.
There were a couple of horrible turnovers that went in the back of the net. Fleury let in a softie or two, depending on your point of view. I looked it up. In fact, I have it right here in front of me. I didn't have to look it up. The Golden Knights allowed 4 shots in the second and third period. Total of 8 shots allowed over 40 minutes. They outshoot the Pens in the first period 13-8. So they outshoot the Pens 34-16 on the night. If you can hold the other team to 16 shots, you got to not let in 4 goals. No, not doing.
Yes, yeah, but not all shots are the same. I mean, I can tell you Barry Trotz over here
for
in
sure.
Long Island is a big believer. Like, the Islanders a lot of times give up a lot of shots. In fact, the analytic community, and one of the reasons why people, not to digress, but they didn't have a favorable rating going to this year because a lot of the analytics, they didn't like a lot of the Islander numbers. But Trotz has always felt not all shots are the same. So he's 100%. Like, look, if you want to take shots from the outside, and we're going to clear the rebounds, and our goalies can see the shots, we'll do that all day long. So, you know, so apparently, you know, like their chances that they had, they were able to execute enough.
The Knights had a lot of high danger, what I would call high danger chances. They weren't. Excuse me, blasting away from the blue line there, and they had a lot of high danger shots. They were buzzing. In fact, late in the game, I was sure in the last 4 minutes they were going to tie it. Pittsburgh took a penalty at 17-17. Malkin went off for tripping, and so the Knights pulled Fleury at about the 2 minute mark, thereabouts, and 6-on-4. The Pens tried a couple long shots, and one of them just kind of inexplicably kicked off to the left. I thought for sure that one was going in, but I thought for sure they were going to tie it. Mark Stone had a fantastic opportunity at the game, right at the end of the game. And probably below the hash marks on left side of the cage. And, you know, the puck hit something and came out to him. And he must have missed the net by 6 feet. He shot it below the hash marks in the slot. And the puck went out of play. So I don't know how that even happens. It's just one of those things. But, you know, don't spot teams 3-0 leads in your own barn and think that, you know, the furious rally is going to save the day for you. I don't know what, there's been a little bit of a problem at times throughout the season where the Golden Knights just, you know, oh, we got to start faster. We got to play 60 minutes. We're hearing those kinds of things. And I don't want to get into it. There was a press conference where Gallant left the room when asked why the Golden Knights struggle against the top tier teams in the National Hockey League. Coach Gallant did not appreciate that question. But it is kind of true. When you go back and look, even on the take the St. Louis game out of the equation, because, you know, 90 times out of 100, you spot a team a 3-0 lead and there's 30 minutes gone in the game, you could pretty much count as a loss. But, you know, they beat Philly 5-4. They beat Anaheim. They beat Arizona. Yeah, Arizona's a first-place team, but are they really kind of a thing? I guess they are, but...
They are. Yeah, and I was about to bring up that point. They're now in first...
They have retaken first place from the Golden Knights. Lost to Anaheim before that. Off of a 3-day rest. Off of getting smoked by Colorado 7-3. They beat San Jose, but then before that, another Pacific Division playoff team, they lose in overtime, Vancouver. Beat Minnesota, probably should. Beat Vancouver at home, okay. Last time they got a good win in Dallas, smoked by St. Louis before that. I was saying that earlier in the season when they were on a little bit of a hot streak when Subban was in net. Excuse me. They beat Calgary, beat Toronto, lost to San Jose, lost to Edmonton, lost to Dallas. Nice win in Nashville, who was struggling at the time. So, I mean, just going back through this season, another loss to Colorado, lost to Boston, lost to Arizona. And then, you know, very nice win against Pittsburgh. I don't know if it's a thing yet, but it's something
I would debate that. I mean, right now, how many teams, every year is its own unique year. So if we're going to just talk about
this year,
you know, if you want to say what teams are elite, right now, I mean, I would say in the West, the only team I would consider elite or that, you know, grade A plus level is probably St. Louis. And then in the East, I would probably say Washington for sure, and then Boston, although they've struggled a little bit, although they won last night.
They played.
I would include Tampa in that, and they've actually on a hot streak finally, but they haven't played like an elite team this year. So there's been a lot of high level play, but if you're going to say, oh, they don't beat the kind of elite teams, that doesn't really, you know, kind of ring true. You know, some teams have a pretty good record. You know, I got to see more of the data or whatnot. You know, like I said, right now in the West, I think it's really a kind of a lot more of a jumble, you know, other than St. Louis. But, hey, it just – I don't know if – I mean, today I didn't get to see anything. So maybe this is old news, but I have in the background NHL Tonight on, and they just had Elliot Freeman on, and this is probably something that came over the wire sometime today, but Logan Couture has a fractured ankle and is going to be out
for
at least 6 weeks. I mean, that's just something that they cannot. I mean,
they
have a huge hill to climb the shark. So, you know, that's.
That was a tough play, too.
Yeah, that's. This is not going to end well for them. So, I mean, they had a lot of talent on that team. I can't put a finger on. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of their games this year. But, and again, we've seen teams go on streaks. Look at the Lightning. They're 1-8 in a row now. But, yeah, I mean, they got a long road to hoe to get back in the mix, the Sharks do. And now they're going to be without one of their best players over the next 6 weeks. So,
that feels like a gut punch to me, too. I saw the play, and it went in the boards awkwardly, and there was a tweet, and I forget who it was. It said, "Watch Logan Couture's left leg in this," and then in parentheses, "or don't watch." It looked like the knee at the time. It looked like his knee hyperextended out to the side, and I mean, he went into the boards real awkwardly with someone on top of him, and. It wasn't a pretty video. I'm not surprised that he'll miss some time after that. And yeah, that just feels like a gut punch for San Jose. It's like,
and it's not just the points that they're behind, which is considerable. It's the amount of teams that they're behind, both teams in
Copy
the playoffs
that.
And play teams fighting to get into the playoffs. So you're gonna have to put up a heck of a record to. For them to get into the wild card. I mean, stranger things could happen. Look at the Blues last year. But this next month is critical for them, and it will be interesting to see what happens if it's like early February or mid February, and there's a couple weeks before the trade deadline, and Doug Wilson's gone all in on this team, and Lord knows he's given up a lot of draft picks and things of that nature. You know, would he consider transitioning and selling a player or two, with, you know, not just, you know, how the team has played this year, but if you mentioned in the past how much the salary cap is not a friend of theirs and how many big contracts they have. So I don't know. I don't know the answer to those things, but you know, just food for thought. I think I think there should be an evaluation going on over there. What has happened? It's probably, I don't think it's outlandish to say they're probably the biggest disappointment in the league. up until this point in the season.
Well, I agree. I would put Tampa in that category 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Tampa seems to have righted the ship, but if you had told me that Tampa would come off the season they had, notwithstanding the playoff debacle, but just coming off of that season last year with mostly basically the same roster intact, Vasilevskiy's still in net and so on and so forth. And, I mean, they were circling the drain 2.5 weeks ago. I'd have put Tampa in a more disappointing position, but looking at the standings right now, I got to agree with you. I don't see any – I mean, we have a lot of surprises, even in the Pacific Division, when you look up at Arizona. Here we are in January, and Arizona's in first place. Edmonton's still in a playoff spot. Vancouver's right behind for the wild card. So there's just in the Pacific Division alone, there's some pleasant surprises, right? Vancouver tied, but tiebreaker leaves them out of tied with Winnipeg there. But looking at San Jose, they're 7 points out of the wild card, 8 points out of third place in the Pacific, and they have Chicago, Nashville, Minnesota, Vancouver, Winnipeg, Calgary in the first wild card spot. That's just to get the wild card. And then if you're going to try and track down Edmonton, they're at 51. That's 8 points clear. I almost have to think about Mr. Wilson. Fired all the coaches, and that didn't help. Who's next, right? You know, you get your shot to finish it out with your coach that you selected, and moving into the off season when you have 10 RFAs and UFAs that need to be re-signed, maybe it's time for a change at the top.
Yeah, and the other team probably was slightly better of consideration. The biggest disappointment is Nashville, and of course, within the last day or two, they let go of Peter Laviolette. They hired
Surprising.
John Rines, who got fired earlier this year.
Surprising.
I mean, crazy. That's a team, when you look at it, and, you know, they seem like, on paper, going to the season, such a solid group in all three areas. They had, you know, depth, and they're strong. They got a lot of top defensemen. Well, you know, all right, Pecorini is not the Pecorini was couple of years ago, but he's still pretty good, and you know, they should have enough in goal, and I know they're in a tough division, but they really it's hard to believe that they're on the outside trying to look in, if you will. And I remember thinking around the middle of December, as we were like a week and a half from Christmas, and they were struggling, and I said, you know what, Laviolette's probably fortunate that the timing of the calendar, because, you know, it just would look weird that you would let a prominent coach like that go right before the holidays kind of thing. And then I knew they had the New Year's Day game this year. So I was like, you know what, to me, he has a couple weeks to get this ship righted. And then it wouldn't shock me if he got let go. And that's kind of how it played out. So, he's a guy who's been in a number of stops, gotten teams to the Stanley Cup Finals, and won a cup, in Carolina. I completely forgot about that. So he's been around. It's hard to believe. I remember his first job was a no-name. Mike Milbury hired him to coach the Islanders, so kind of thing. And who's this guy? So, Nashville's another team. I mean, they're in a little bit better position than San Jose, but they have a lot of, and, you know, again, they played Boston last night, lost 4-1. So, like I said, it's a little startling. And you know what? Ever since they had that really magical run to get to the Stanley Cup Finals, I guess we're going back, what now, 3-4 years ago. And after that, everyone kind of felt like rubber stamped them as, a true Stanley Cup contender, and probably rightfully so. But since then, there's been, you know, each year there's been a little bit more slippage, with last year being a first-round playoff ouster, and now this year, hard to believe, they may be a team who doesn't make the playoffs.
Well, I was just scrolling through some of the articles about Hines. Does it seem right where they say third head coach in franchise history for the Predators? As long
well,
as they've been around to only have
well,
their Trotz third head coach?
That. Trotz was there for like 15 years. So
if you look at it
from that standpoint,
and
he was there for very,
and
yeah,
John
he's been
Hines.
There for a few years. So
that's
it sounds
it.
Crazy when you say it, but when you
it does,
when you
right?
have one guy that when you have one guy there almost 15 years in Barry Trotz, yeah, it makes sense.
Let me go back a little bit to last night's game. There's some injuries to update here. The Cody Eakin makes his return and returns as third line center. Stastny reunited with Stone and Pacioretty. That line looked great. They still had Carrier, Eakin, and Tuck. Is that right? No. Yeah, that's right. Cody Glass, still out. Lower body, not expected to miss a whole lot of time. There was ACL and all kind of different things, but now the word here in Las Vegas is that bone bruise and in the knee, 3 to 4 weeks perhaps is the word on Cody Glass that's coming out of the grapevine. Jesse Granger of the Athletics that, you know, sources say kind of a thing. So that's good news for Cody Glass. His knee is not blown up. So that moves Stevenson up to play left wing with Carlson and Smith in the absence of Jonathan Marchessault, missing, I believe, his second game now. So the line, and then Nick Waugh centering Carrier and Reef. I believe, let me double check that. But the line blender for Coach Gallant is out and in force once again. Now, on the roster, he had Stevenson, who's been playing great since coming over from Washington. Adds good to the Pacioretty Stone line at second line center. Excuse me, you have Cody Eakin returning. I'm not going to put any grade on him. Your first game back after missing that much time with what everybody thinks is a concussion. You're just trying to get through the game and get your legs and all that stuff. So obviously, then you have Carlson, and you have Nick Waugh, and you have Tomas Nosek, and you got Cody Glass, who's better. Obviously, he's a natural center, but much more productive when playing center. I'm wondering how that is all going to shake out. And I wanted to get your thoughts before we go here. We're going to be out of time in a couple of minutes. But I guess too many centers that are vying for roster position is a good problem to have, sir.
I'll give you one more little thing to consider. It seems like Vegas wants to add a defenseman by the trade deadline, like a quality, you know, defenseman. We've heard Sammy Vatanen's name as an example. But, you know, Vegas is really right up against the cap. So from a cap standpoint, if they were to add a player, you know, again, at that point in the season, how much do they have left on their contract? Maybe someone can, you know. But they might have to move a Cody Eakin, let's say, to free
might
up
have to
the
make
cap
a hockey
space.
Team.
Right, to free who's also a pending UFA, and given all the givens about in terms of Vegas, in terms of the roster, the depth at center, there where their salary cap's at, probably this will be his last year with Vegas. So he's a guy who could wind up getting moved, maybe get a draft pick or two, free up some cap space, maybe even use one of those draft picks and throw something else in, another draft pick in to get Sammy Vatanen and kind of thing. So that's another thing to keep an eye on. And if Cody Eakin is healthy, as we saw last year, now last year might have been a career year in terms of offensive production, but he's a heck of a player, and he can really help somebody. Now, he's had a number of injuries. I can think of one team, not even Long Island, who could use a healthy Cody Eakin. I mean, Love to see the wish list is Pageau, but you know, everyone who's kind of circling Pageau, which a lot of teams are, for help at center, you know, not a bad consolation prize, and I don't think it would cost a lot in terms of assets. You know, I think you're talking about a mid-round draft pick based on how he's played this year, based on it's a rental, you know, and based on his cap hit, which is not horrible, but, you know, 385, it's something. You know, that he, as long as he's healthy, he could be a nice little find for somebody.
You know, I'm thinking more along the lines of a Cody Eakin for Vatanen type deal because, I mean, let's face it, New Jersey's going to blow this up. They have to do something
with
that roster.
If they're going to trade Vatanen, they got to trade him for picks. They got to
one of Vegas's extra picks, and then you pick up an expiring contract that you don't have to worry about in the offseason. And then Cody Eakin hits the free agency market. That's the kind of trade we've seen in the past.
If Vegas was willing to trade, if I'm New Jersey and they're willing to give me one of their 3 second-round picks and Cody Eakin to help them make it work in terms of cap, and then I'll flip Cody Eakin and pick up, let's say, a 4th-round pick or a couple of mid-round picks or something like that.
Yeah, that'll get it done.
Yeah, I'd be all for that. But I think Vatanen is going to – the price for him is going to be a second-round pick plus. And Vegas does have 3 second-round picks, so that's a good place to be.
Yes, sir. Well, looking ahead, the Vegas Golden Knights will finish out homestand. And I just had it in front of me.
Don't you have a special to pick for tonight?
I do. Let's do that. I can't pick that game. the NBC Sports next game is Stars Kings, and I won't pick a team that I'm interested in. You know, so the other NBC, I got 2 games listed. I'll go Caps, Flyers. Flyers at home. I'm gonna take a Flyer on.
Both played last night.
Yeah. Caps traveling to Philadelphia. Excuse me once again.
Flyers flew from Carolina.
I'm gonna take a Flyer on the Flyers.
Okay.
I know Capitals that. Still in single-digit losses for the season. I think right now, Philly probably needs that win a little bit more. They're tied with Columbus, who's been on a hot streak themselves.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a good price with Philly at home, and I'm going to go ahead and take Philly.
Okay. That makes I hope you're right. Although, I don't know if I do, because, you know, as much as I want to see the Islanders catch the Capitals, they have to worry about the Flyers. So, the way things have been going in that division, it will probably wind up being an overtime game.
It would be just your luck, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, all right, buddy. I'm glad we got to do this tonight.
Yes.
Nice little quick hockey chat, up to date on some news from around the league. And we'll be back at it Saturday. What are we doing Saturday?
I have to confirm, but I did confirm over last week. But we're going to have Russ coming on for a few minutes. So he'll give us a little thoughts on the Flyers and the Rangers. He covers those teams very closely. He covers the whole league closely. But to get a little Metro, Flyers, Rangers, Metro in general talk. We'll get his thoughts on the World Junior Championship. And we'll get maybe a sneak peek from him in terms of the June draft, because Russ is all over the draft every year. So
yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And obviously we'll talk Golden Knights, and we'll go around the league. We'll probably have a couple good nuggets around the league as well.
All right, my friend. Thanks for doing it. I'm glad you got kicked out of work a little bit early today and were able to come home and make it happen. So thank you, sir. And that's going to do it for this midweek report, number 8, for Chris on Mark, and we're gone. We'll be right back.